Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, Sean Pendergast, your beloved co-host. Probably slightly more beloved than me, but that's cool. He's a fun-loving guy. He's off watching his daughter Judy compete in cross country this week, and I've got Wade Smith. Apologies, everybody. Wade Smith, former Houston Texan, in studio to replace Sean. Wade, did you happen to watch Real Sports last night when Bryant Gumbel and Soledad O'Brien took on the Deshaun Watson saga?
I did watch it, and I was slightly surprised at how much of a kind of a fair both sides of it way that they attacked the situation. I thought it was going to be a one-sided hit piece where Deshaun Watson was going to come out of it looking worse than he already has looked in the situation, but they gave kind of a balanced amount of time to both sides of the disagreement or the situation, however you want to put it, the allegations. And I didn't come out of it thinking to myself, yeah, that was really bad for Deshaun. Or I didn't come out of it thinking to myself, the girls, the women, they weren't very believable. Like, there was things that were said by the accusers that, you know, said to myself, well, that sounds incredible. And then there was things that were brought up by Deshaun Watson's side of it. It wasn't Deshaun Watson because he didn't participate, but whether it was his lawyer or whether it was just the way that Real Sports reported it, they told both sides of the story. And I kind of felt myself after watching it thinking to myself, well, you know, the needle did not move in either direction. So it'll be interesting how the NFL viewed it, how Deshaun Watson's camp viewed it, how, you know, the other 20 accusers that did not participate in it, how they viewed it, Tony Busby, how he viewed it. But to me, there was no really movement of the needle after watching it.
Busby had his hair slicked back. Did you catch that? It was a whole new look for Busby. That was a bold move on Busby's part.
I did see that. I did notice that, like, while watching it, he tried to come off as I don't want to say sympathetic, but he tried to come off as like, hey, you know, I was just minding my own business, and you know, these ladies came to me, and I felt like I needed to take up their cause. Whereas a lot of people here in Houston that know him and know kind of his background and, you know, how he's not going to shy away from the limelight. I think he tried to make sure he didn't give off that impression in the interview, and so it looked like to me he was trying to make himself seem more a sympathetic figure, because there's a lot of people outside of Houston that were watching that this is their first time seeing Tony Busby, and he probably knew, and it ended up happening, that he was going to take some personal attacks from Deshaun Watson's side of it. And so I think the whole deal was to try to win the court of public opinion. And so that was part of it. Him trying to come across as more of a sympathetic lawyer that's trying to help these women out.
Yeah, the first few minutes I thought, okay, this is going to be a bunch of stuff we already know and we're not going to necessarily learn a whole lot new. But like you mentioned, when Ashley Solis starts going through, and then, you know, I've got the audio. I feel like it's too graphic for this time of day as kids are on their way to school and everything. So I'm not shying away from presenting that part of the story. But it is, it's graphic, and you can see how, if that is what happened to her, how disturbing it would be. Some of this we know from the depositions, but some of what she and Kyla Hayes, who's the other plaintiff that was interviewed, said, we know from the depositions and some of the testimony, but we haven't necessarily seen people say it. This was Ashley Solis describing the scene after the massage alleged incident, and how it, you know, it, she feels like Deshaun may have been threatening her career.
Solis says she waited for Watson to leave. But before he did, she says he delivered a parting message.
He just said, I know you have a career to protect, and I know you don't want anyone messing with it, just like I don't want anyone messing with mine. That's when I got really scared.
Why?
Because that sounded like a threat to me.
So, you know, and we knew that. I don't think she had actually described that on camera yet, but to people outside of Houston, I know a lot of people haven't seen any of these women necessarily. When we covered it here locally, a lot of that wasn't really on the radar nationally, and the news was keeping an arm's length distance away from that. The other part that, as you mentioned, it seemed like a pretty balanced treatment of this topic, that they were telling Deshaun's side of the story, even though Deshaun didn't get interviewed for this. They asked him and he declined, which I would have expected, because that's what I think you probably should do when you're in an ongoing legal situation like this. But one of the points that they brought up on Deshaun's side was that he'd had text conversations with a number of these plaintiffs afterwards, some of whom continue to make plans. Kyla Hayes, who was one of these massage therapists who texted him afterwards, who was being interviewed by HBO, explained her side of that scenario.
In response to these claims, Watson's legal team has challenged the accuser's credibility, pointing out that some, including Kyla Hayes, remained in contact with Watson for months after the alleged assaults, in some cases even discussing possible follow-up appointments.
People will look at your interaction after what you're saying was an assault and say, how could it be an assault? Here she is texting with him.
I wasn't sure what he was capable of. He could have physically assaulted me. He could have bashed my business. So I had to protect myself and my business the best way I saw fit. Did I ever see him again after that? No. Did I give him the runaround? Yes.
Wade, that right there, I felt like that little nugget out of the entire 20-minute piece on Real Sports kind of just got to the heart of how difficult it is with these cases, because I think that was the one where I felt most like, okay, I can see both sides of this, where Deshaun's argument could make a lot of sense, at least in the cases where the women were corresponding with him afterwards. But then you hear Kyla Hayes speak, and I say, yeah, I could totally see that being the actual case too, that if somebody that you feel has power over you, that maybe you can keep at bay without angering, but without exposing yourself to, like, that makes sense as well.
Yeah, both, like when I heard her say that, to me, that was logical. That was reasonable. And she said it with credibility. And so, but at the same time, you know, Deshaun denies that, you know, with the Ashley Solis, he denied that he said those things to her, basically threatening her career. But when you hear Kyla Hayes say, I felt like, you know, if I did not communicate with him, if I burned that bridge, then maybe, you know, that could come back on my business. To me, that's a plausible, you know, explanation. And so, like you said, we're left here trying to figure out, all right, what's what, and nobody knows the intent of what was done and what was said, except for Deshaun Watson and each one of these women that have, you know, subsequently accused him. And so we're left here to try to figure out, you know, what's what. And the NFL is left here to try to figure out, you know, how credible are these witnesses, and what should we do about it on our end? Because, you know, especially with the hard stance that they took, you know, Roger Goodell took in his press conference not too long ago, basically saying that, you know, domestic violence and sexual assault is not going to be accepted any longer in the NFL, because, you know, the NFL has dropped the ball on those particular topics for years and years and years. And, you know, they kind of drew a line in the sand. And that's where you have people saying, in one regard, hey, you know, Deshaun Watson could be out for the season. You know, he could be suspended for the entire year. Some people saying it 8 games, 4 games. And if Lisa Friero comes back and says, hey, I don't think he deserves to have any punishment, any suspension, then he won't get any suspension because Roger Goodell can't do anything about it. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the NFL weighs in this investigation to where that, and then with how they use that to come up with a punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, along the lines of what you were saying initially, I don't know if, like this particular incident, I don't think this necessary, or this particular program, the Real Sports treatment of it, I don't know if this probably would have swayed Goodell one way or the other. Like you said, it didn't feel like it was some kind of a hit piece or one-sided or anything like that. I think it really did a really good job of just showing how murky these things are, in that when it comes to not prosecuting something like this, or a grand jury recommending not prosecuting, when it's he said, she said, you can see how there's just the actual evidence is sometimes just not enough to actually go to trial. The other part that's been interesting the last couple of days, and I wonder how much of this has to do with the fact that now Deshaun is in a place where he's going to play and the PR side of it becomes a lot more crucial and critical, is it seems like Rusty Harden and his team are a little bit more on the attack after they kind of sat and laid in wait. And Harden's talked about this a couple times in the last couple days, that once they realized that Busby was just waging this all-out social media campaign, they realized that they probably couldn't win it, and they had to kind of sit back and wait. One of the things that his team did, which, as Brian Gumbel describes it, last night, he says that Deshaun's team reached out to them at the 11th hour, and this attorney, Leah Graham, who is one of Deshaun Watson's attorney, addressed who she thought was the real culprit in all of this, and she set her sights right on Tony Busby.
For Deshaun Watson to be innocent, 22 women would have to be lying. Why would the public believe one man versus 22 different women?
Well, I think there's two answers to that. First, it's 22 women. It's one lawyer. There's only one lawyer who was willing to take these cases. And as we know from Ashley Solis's deposition, Mr. Busby was not the first, probably not even the second or third lawyer that she went to. But he was the only one to take her case. Why? Not because it had merit, but because he would use these cases to increase his social media following and, quite frankly, to get on shows like this one.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a pretty big allegation to levy against an attorney.
Yeah,
and yet, Busby has never shied away from getting publicity any way possible.
Yeah, and when you think about it, this is not the first time we've heard that type of defense or that type of explanation of why there's so many accusers, is because we knew from the jump, we were seeing the social media post of, hey, if you've had any encounter with him, please, you know, reach out to us and you know, we'll discuss with you about potentially, you know, helping you through your situation as well. And that's what she mentioned in there, talking about he solicited clients. And I don't know if that, how frowned upon that is in the lawyer world. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how frowned upon that is or not, but that was Deshaun Watson's team's way of explaining away why there were so many women that came forward. The thing about it is that each one of these accusers are getting they're getting depositions done. You know, investigators are involved. They're being questioned. The credibility is being ascertained. And then eventually a decision is going to be made and you just move forward with that. Now, she mentioned that there were so many laws, there's so many lawyers that did not want to get involved with the case. And he was like the third or fourth lawyer that Busby talking about was like the third or fourth lawyer she went to. You know, that I can see where they're trying to use that, you know, against, you know, Ashley Solis. But at the same time, lawyers take cases that they feel like that they can win.
Yeah.
Right. And so in a lot of times what cases they can win has to do with the way the law is put into place. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that because a lawyer didn't take the case that something bad didn't happen or something wrong didn't happen. Those lawyers just felt like they can't win the case. And so they didn't want to take it. A guy like Busby, even if he loses the case, he can still win in the long run. And because like I said, the laws in place don't tell us whether Deshaun Watson did bad things or not.
Yeah.
And so that's where you just kind of left saying, all right, well, you know, apparently he didn't break any laws because that's the law says he didn't break any laws. Did he do anything wrong? We don't know that. And based off of how the NFL investigates it, they're going to determine what he did wrong and what his punishment should be from that. And that's what I saw on Twitter yesterday. Sean put up a printer poll and like 62% of the people. And the question on the printer poll was, should what happened with Trevor Bauer have any kind of influence on what happens with Deshaun Watson case? And I was disturbed when I saw that. Cause I'm like, wait a minute. They got to investigate like each case. And one thing in a different league in a completely different set of circumstances has nothing to do with this one right here. Because if they determine that Deshaun Watson, maybe he couldn't be proven within the law that he did bad things. But the NFL says, man, I think Deshaun Watson was preying on women per se. He shouldn't play football anymore. Right. But if they also determine on the other side of that, they say, hey, you know what? This dude got caught up in a situation to where he put himself in a bad position, but he didn't do anything that we can credibly feel that he did wrong. Then maybe he gets a couple of games or four games or whatever it is because he put himself in a bad situation. And there's so many things in between those two extremes that you can come to. But Trevor Bauer and what happened in California or wherever he was with his deal, that has nothing to do with what Deshaun Watson and his situation that he had here in Houston. To me, that was just disturbing that a lot of people, the majority of people felt like, yeah, there should be some type of carryover from one situation to the other.
I think, though, too, one of the problems with that poll was that you could interpret it a lot of different ways. And I think that maybe some people were just answering that from the perspective of, hey, it seems like Major League Baseball hands down more severe penalties than the NFL does. Should the NFL be more severe? Should they have tougher penalties for, you know, like whether these particular alleged transgressions correspond to Tyler Bowers or not? Should the NFL be more aggressive?
I guess you could say that. But my thing is this, I have to look at everything individually. To me, Major League Baseball looked at Bauer's situation and investigated it and said to themselves, this dude doesn't need to be around the game for over a year. Like that's what they, because of whatever happened there, whatever they deemed happened there, because they had to have deemed that something bad happened there, something that was against, you know, Major League Baseball and against, you know, what they deem is what the players in their league are allowed to do and uphold it. And they don't have a shield, but uphold their, you know, their logo or whatever it may be. Like they determined that's what he should get. If the NFL determines that Deshaun Watson did things in a similar manner or to that severity, then he should be punished as such, but it has nothing to do with what went on over there. You know, to me now the question, if it would have said, will that have any influence on that? I can see it having some influence on it because public opinion is such a important factor when it comes to anything in this world, like public perception, public opinion, especially when you're talking about private entities and private businesses. This is like, you know, that's your lifeblood. If your PR is terrible, you know, it can cost you money. And in your private business, your whole job is to be profitable and to make money. And so I could see it happening that way, but should it happen that way? Hell no. I think one thing has nothing to do with the other. I think the people that are investigating the NFL have a job to do. They need to do their job. And if they do their job and they determine Deshaun Watson doesn't deserve any suspension, then he doesn't deserve any suspension. And if they determine he should be banned from the NFL, then he should be banned from the NFL. That's just kind of where we are, that there are people put in certain roles and they have to make decisions and they have to do their job. But I don't think that, you know, what's going on out there with Bauer should have any influence on what happens with Deshaun Watson.
Hey, John McClain joins us in just about an hour, and you can join us also for a toast to the General John McClain Wednesday, June 15th at the Houston Improv. It's going to be hosted by Sean Pendergast, who will be back on Monday. Special guests, Mean Joe Green, Kenny Houston, Robert Brazil, Patty Smith, Dan Pastorini, Elvin Bethea, Gary Kubiak, Don Rule, and more. Tickets are on sale now. They are going fast. There's not many left. I just got an email from the boss last night. I can't remember what the exact number was. It's not many. Buy your tickets at the Houston Improv or Ticketmaster.com. It's a toast to the General John McClain. Up next, our Wade Smith was once coached by a Nick Saban. Maybe you've heard of him. Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban took jabs at each other next week. I got to hear Wade Smith's 2 cents on exactly what's going on between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.